So we have been looking at how to be an effective Bible student. Now we're looking at some of the tools that are needed to be an effective Bible student. And we started looking at last week, we just touched on it, but having a study Bible. Many people have study Bibles. Sometimes they're referred to as a reference Bible. I have the old Schofield reference Bible is the one I use. And I'll give some warnings here, but let me just go through this and I'll give the warnings as we go through instead of me saying the same thing twice. So study Bibles can be a great blessing. There's many good things in them. But there's a few things we need to be aware of when you're getting a study Bible. Almost all of them are going to use the wrong Greek text and undependable English versions. Okay, and what I'm saying in that is they're going to question the Word of God. They're going to throw doubt on the Word of God. So just understand that that's going to happen. Even in the one I have, the text in here is the King James Version. But in some of the notes, he'll question it. A better rendering would be this. The oldest and best manuscripts say this. And all that does, in my opinion, as you look at that, it's just like in Genesis chapter 3 where Satan comes to the woman. He says, "Yea, hath God said." What was he doing? He was questioning the Word of God. He said, "Did God really say that?" And that's what those types of things are doing. They're saying, "Well, did God really say that? Because it could be better like this." Well, either God's perfect or he's not. That's not hard for me to understand. And we're having a King James Bible conference coming up. So I'm not going to get into a lot of details on why we use the King James Bible right now. But we are having that coming up in November. And we're going to spend, I believe it's 3 weeks. It's on our calendar back there. 3 weeks dealing with that in detail, why we hold to the King James Bible, why that's the only English Bible we use. So that'll be, I think, helpful to all of us and give us more of a solid foundation to stand on why we would just use the King James Bible. But just beware, in most study Bibles, they're going to use the wrong Greek text and undependable English versions. They use what's known as the critical Greek text, okay? Just real quickly, as far as Greek texts go, you have the majority text and then the critical text. The majority text, as it says, the numbers changes some, but I think Greek manuscripts for the Bible, I think there's over 5,500 Greek manuscripts. Now, when we say the majority text, what we mean is the majority of them are all in agreement, and they're all, we could say, out of Antioch in Syria. You know, Antioch in Acts chapter 13 that we read about, that's where they're from. The corrupted texts are going to come out of Egypt, out of Alexandria, Egypt. That's where the corrupted texts come from, and that's where the minority of the texts come from. And when I say the majority text, I mean it's like probably 80% or more of the text, the Greek manuscripts that are still in existence, like 80% of them, if not more, are in agreement with the King James Bible. And the other 20% are not. They may be in some places, but they're going to question it in other places. And the places it questions it at are pretty important. It has to do with doctrine. It has to do with the blood of Christ, with the deity of Christ. I'll show us just a few examples as we go through this here this morning that we can look at things where they're going to question. And these are ways you can check the Bible you're using. Is it a good one? And I'll just let you know, just get the King James Bible. If not the new King James, just get the King James Bible. That's going to be the one you want. And again, just stick with us and we'll teach you why you should do that, okay? I know I'm telling you to just take my word for it, but if you want more information on that, see me after the service. I'll give you some more things to look into. I'll show you some verses you can look at, but we will be teaching on it. It's not just that I'm expecting you to follow me blindly. So you've got the critical Greek text is the minority. You've got the majority Greek text. It would be also called the Textus Receptus. I'm giving you guys a lot of information maybe you've never heard before. But that's the Textus Receptus, the majority text, the Antiochian text. These are all the same names for the same thing. So you've got the Textus Receptus, the majority text, the Antiochian text. Those are all the Greek texts that underlies the King James Bible. Okay? And that's what we want to go with. If not, a lot of these study Bibles, they'll say things like the oldest and best manuscripts omit this verse. The oldest and best manuscripts read this instead. So let's look at an example here. Go to Matthew 17:21, if you would. All right, and I know you're not going to be able to see this here, but what does this verse say? So let's just kind of get it in context. So verse 19, Matthew 17, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus has just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. This man's there asking, he's asking the disciples, hey, cast this devil out of my kid. They can't do it. So then they all run to Jesus, and Jesus is able to cast out the devil. You can read that if you get in the context. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He says, but this isn't going to happen but by prayer and fasting. You can't do this without prayer and fasting. Okay, now, I told you I've got the old Schofield Reference Bible is what it's called. In my notes here, there's a reference for me to look at here, and it says in this, at verse 21, it says the two best manuscripts omit verse 21. Now, I know what he's talking about when he says the two best manuscripts. He's talking about Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, because those are the ones they always go to. Okay, Vaticanus, obviously it's Catholic. It comes from the Vatican. Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, I believe Sinaiticus was the one that they were that was in the trash heap and they were going to burn, and someone started looking through it and found it and realized, oh, wait a minute, we've got something here. Why was it in the trash heap? Because they don't use it. Okay, so why would we say the oldest and best manuscripts? Because if you look at it, these are two of the oldest manuscripts still intact, or the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Now, let me ask you, if you find a Bible believer, most Bible believers that I know have gone through more than one Bible. Why? Because they use it, and it starts falling apart. Yeah, there we go. Look at that thing. I'm not trying to pinpoint him, but that thing's falling apart. Okay, Bible believers, Bibles fall apart because they use them. I don't know, I'm on like my sixth Bible here. Hopefully this one holds up better than the others. But when you use them, they fall apart. I mean, just probably many of you know that. You recognize, you're like, I gotta get a new Bible. This thing's falling apart, or you got to get it rebound. A lot of people put notes in them, but they fall apart, so they wear out, and you get another one. Well, the same thing happened back then with Bible believers. They used them, so they'd have to make copies of them. But this thing's still in existence from like 300-400 AD. Why is it still in existence? Because they didn't use it, because they recognize, Bible believers recognize, that's junk. That's no good. That's not right. That's not what the Bible says. And we're fooling ourselves if we think that the devil is not going to come in and try and corrupt the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what tells us the way of salvation, is it not? The Word of God is what tells us how to live. So why would we think that Satan's not going to get his hands in and try and corrupt the Word of God? Peter talked about it in one of his epistles. He says it's already being corrupted. They're already corrupting the Word of God. So here's what my Bible says right here. The notes, again, these are just men's notes. It's not the Bible. But it says the two best manuscripts omit verse 21. Well, verse 21 is this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So what Jesus said wasn't important. This is what I'm talking about in these reference Bibles. We have to be aware of this stuff. Just understand that it's going to exist there. Those things are going to be there. Here's another one. This is dangerous right here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. One of the most popular new versions out today omits over 60,000 words. Does anyone know what that is? NIV. The NIV. The NIV omits over 60,000 words out of your Bible. 60,000. That's a lot. Here's part of the spots where they do this. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, what do the newer manuscripts do with this? Here's what they do. Follow with me, the beginning of verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh. I'm manifest in the flesh, so? What's the big deal? You're manifest in the flesh. So, but that's what they do. They change it to he. He was manifest in the flesh. Well, what does that, what doctrine does that attack? Who knows? Somebody help me. What doctrine does that attack? He was manifest in the flesh versus God was manifest in the flesh. Does anybody know? What doctrine does that attack? Yeah, in a sense, but specifically, we would say the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus is God. Because God was manifest in the flesh. Well, we know Jesus was the one manifest in the flesh, right? Well, he was God. That's what it's telling us right there. The Bible's telling us God was manifest in the flesh. That was Jesus Christ that came. Hey, the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to love this. But so are all the newer versions that are being used in so many Christian groups out there today. Going to say the same thing. The JWs are going to love that. The Mormons are going to love that. The Unitarians are going to love that. And when you start looking in detail into the committees that are put together to translate these newer versions, you end up finding out there's Unitarians on them. They've got a Unitarian, somebody that doesn't believe in the Trinity. That's what a Unitarian is. So of course they're going to love something like that. Well, who else would want to demote Jesus? Who would want to bring him down? Who would want to have him worship him? You following me? What was one of the temptations that Satan told Christ? He said, hey, he took him. He had the power. I mean, you go read it in Matthew chapter 4. He had the ability to do this. He took him and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, hey, if you bow down and worship me, I'll make you ruler over all of these. And Jesus didn't say, you don't have the power to do that. He did not rebuke him and tell him that. Why? Because he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of this world. He could have done it. You get into all these rock stars and stuff, many of them saying, I sold my soul to the devil to be famous. Katy Perry, I don't know if you've seen that video where she says, I sold my soul to the devil. She grew up in a preacher's home, so-called. But I mean, that's real. Satan has the power to do those things. And many of them he ends up killing, I believe. Look at how many rock stars have died. I mean, Jimi Hendrix choking on his own vomit. I mean, completely give themselves over to these things. So my point in saying all that is that, hey, Satan had the power to do that for Jesus. But what did he want? He wanted him to worship him. So who's going to change this from being God was manifest in the flesh to he was manifest in the flesh? Well, Satan's going to have his hand in that. To me, that's clear. It makes sense to me that Satan would do the same thing. Take away his deity, take away the fact that he is God. God was the one manifest in the flesh. So here's just things we need to beware of in looking at study Bibles and just understanding that there's going to be some issues. So when they say the oldest and best manuscripts read he who instead of God, or, you know, just the oldest and best manuscripts omit this verse, it's misleading, because really what they should say in the majority of cases is that one or two or at most a handful of old manuscripts make these changes, whereas the vast majority of manuscripts read the same as the received Greek New Testament and the King James Bible. They read the exact same. And many times Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, the two oldest and best, they contradict each other. So this is stuff that they don't tell you, though. When you get the preacher up there, you know, and he says, oh, the oldest and best say this. He's many times, a lot of them haven't ever looked into this. They've been told, you know, if you're King James only, then you're part of some cult. I'm just letting you know how it is, because when you start believing this stuff, this is what people are going to say about you, and they will, if you just, you're King James only. But man, I can show you in the Bible why I'm King James only, and I can back it up with the Word of God. God promised He'd preserve His Word. Where is it then? If He preserved it, where is it? Okay, I think it's Matthew 24:35. You know, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God said, I'm going to keep my word for you. He said, you can't live by bread alone, but by every word. He said, you need every word to live. Well, where is it then? If I need every word, where is it? See, I believe it. I believe we've got it right here. And I think I can go to the Bible and show you. Here it is. And show you all the stuff that's been taken out of the others and the doctrines that they attack. But it's misleading for them to say that, oh, you know, the best ones read this, because really it's only just maybe a handful. Usually it's just one. And they almost always go with the one that's going to contradict the King James Bible. If you go to Mark chapter 16, if you would, please. All right, again, just a study Bible. I'm just giving you some examples here. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Okay, and then jump to verse 19. So then go to verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, again, here's a study Bible. Okay, here's the notes that this study Bible that I have says. Okay, the passage from verse 9 to the end is not found in the two most ancient manuscripts. Here we go, the Sinaitic and Vatican, the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. And others have it with partial omissions and variations, but it is quoted by Irenaeus and Hippolytus in the 2nd or 3rd century. So these preachers from that time, these pastors, I believe Irenaeus was a pastor and so was Hippolytus, but they were men that lived in the 2nd and 3rd century, they're quoting it. So in the 2nd and 3rd century, but these oldest and best manuscripts omit it, they take it out. So they take out verses 9 to 20. So what do? They take out the resurrection, they take out the Great Commission, they take out the Ascension. Those are pretty important things. You say, but I can find it over here in Matthew. I can find it over here. Yeah, but you got one less place where it's at. And what does it do? It casts doubt. It casts doubt on the Word of God. And if you get into it with some atheist that knows what he's talking about, or some Bible skeptic that knows what they're talking about, and you just take and accept any Bible version that's out there, I can make you look silly. But if you accept any Bible version that's out there, I'll show you contradictions in your Bible if you use an NIV, if you use an ESV, and a bunch of other versions on down the line. But there's no contradictions in a King James Bible, but I can show them to you in other Bibles. There's no contradictions in here. Show me. And you get to some knowledgeable atheist, he'll be like, okay, flip here. And they're out there. They know. They know their stuff. I didn't mark them down. I've got them in my Bible. You're probably wanting to know one of them, aren't you? Let me see if I can find one for you here real quick. Oh, man, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't even plan on talking about all this. Give me just a second here. I try not to do this. You know, when you're up here not talking, it might be 3 seconds to you guys. It seems like 4 minutes to me. Give me just a second. Once I find one of them, I know I've got all of it cross-referenced for me. See, it's already feeling like eternity to me. How you guys doing out there? You're good? It's feeling like a long time right here. I'm getting hot up here. Oh, man. I should have the references memorized better. And then I do. Let me find another one here. All right. Go to Mark, if you would. Go to Mark. I was looking for another one. Maybe I'll find it later. Mark chapter 1. Isaiah, do me a favor, run in my office, and on the bottom shelf there's going to be some newer versions. Just go bring that stack out to me if you can. It's just the wood looking shelf. It's on the bottom shelf. Bring those to me, please. Alright, Mark chapter 1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." All right. So it's very important. See, we need an every word Bible. Every word in the Bible is important. Okay, so here's what it says. As it is written in the, what's the next word? Somebody help me out. What's the next word? As it is written in the, verse 2, prophets. Prophets. Okay. Just bring them up here. Thank you, son. All right, you say, why do you have these, Pastor? For this reason I'm about to show you right here. I don't use these. That's why they're on the bottom shelf, because I don't want anyone to think I use these. All right, let me see here. Not all of them are going to have this, but brother, if you'll help me out, please. It's a New World Translation. That's the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Here's the NIV. Brother, if you'll help me out, find that same passage in Mark. Let's see what else I got. I don't know. Not all of them do this. Is that the NIV? And let's try this one, the New Testament of the Jerusalem Bible. I don't know if this one does or not. Will you find that same passage there? Mark 1, verses 2 and 3. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. All right, what have you got over there, brother? New World Translation? Okay, brother Josh has the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Go ahead, will you read those verses for us? Follow along in your King James. All right, now, again, if you'll read just like the first five or six words in verse 2.
Just as it is written in Isaiah the prophet.
Okay, Brother Russell, what does yours say?
It is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Look, I am going to send my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make his path straight.
All right, and that was the new, what is it? The Jerusalem Bible, so that says Isaiah the prophet too. Go ahead, what does yours say? This is NIV.
It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord to make straight paths for him.
All right, so all three of them, and I didn't know about the New Jerusalem Bible. I hadn't looked at that one, but I knew these other two did it. But they all say in Isaiah the prophet, right? Okay, I'm about to show you a contradiction in the Bible if you believe those are Bibles. Okay, I don't. Okay, they might have portions of the Bible in them. And I'm not saying that not all, you can't. I could lead someone to the Lord out of an NIV. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that those aren't the pure word of God. That's what I'm saying. Okay, there's corruptions, there's contradictions. So if you start talking with someone that knows their stuff and they're like, oh, well, look here. I'm going to show you a contradiction. They'll turn to something like this. So, all right, the King James says, as it is written in the prophets, plural, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. All right, so I'm going to turn, you guys stay here. You can write this stuff down, but I'm going to go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to stay in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, I'm going to Malachi 3, 1, because this is what it's quoting, okay? It says, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So who's saying this if we're in Malachi? Malachi, right? I mean, Malachi is the prophet that's saying this. Now, those said it was Isaiah, right? Behold, in Isaiah the prophet, it says this. Here's what Malachi says. Chapter 3, verse 1, you look at it in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. What's he quoting? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And he's quoting Malachi. Now, the other reference is to Isaiah, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So Mark is quoting Malachi and Isaiah, right? So the King James Bible has it right, in the prophets. But these new versions have a contradiction. So if you're there trying to debate some atheist or something like that, or some Bible agnostic, some skeptic of the Bible, and they say, well, there's contradictions in the Bible. You're like, well, show me one. Because most people, probably 99% of people cannot show you one. But I guarantee that I know they're out there because they look into these things. And they'll say, well, turn right here. And you're just going to be there like, what are you going to say? Like, seriously. So when they try that, I'm like, well, I don't even recognize that as the Bible. I'm like, give me a King James Bible. I've had the Jehovah's Witnesses at my door. I'm like, that's not even a Bible. Don't even use that. I know you guys used to use the King James, and they did. I don't even mess with that. Give me a King James Bible, and we'll use that as our authority. So I just, this is why I hold on to these. So you can see it for yourself that that's what they say. You can pass those up. They'll be right here. Thank you, gentlemen, for reading that. Appreciate it. All right. So those will be there if you want to look at them. All right, so there you see a contradiction in the Bible if you don't have a King James Bible. So they exist. And I wanted to show you the other one. I can't remember. I know kind of the area, but I don't quite remember. All right, so I just wanted you to see that, okay? Study Bibles can also contain heretical notes. Many of them will contain false or misleading notes. Just like a commentary, you know, we have to be careful to prove all things by the Bible. Again, when you get in here in the notes, understand they're just the notes of a man. Okay, it's not God's word. Just like, I mean, sometimes preaching is just the thoughts of a man, okay? There can be, I could say wrong things sometimes. I'm not saying that I can't. So we just need to be careful of that and measure everything by the word of God. And many times the notes in these Bibles are wrong. So just go into this knowing that. An example, this is a popular study Bible, Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. It was edited by Finnis Jennings Dake, published in 1961. It was written by a Pentecostal, and his theology is reflected in his comments. A pamphlet that accompanies the Bible from the publisher claims that Dake received his teaching by divine revelation. Dake taught that there was a pre-Adamite world ruled by Lucifer between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. It's called the gap theory. A lot of people believe that. By the way, the notes in this Bible teach a gap theory, okay? I'm just telling you this stuff's out there. I don't agree with the gap theory. That brings death before sin. That's the biggest problem I have with it. All right, this man Dake also taught that healing is guaranteed for the Christian. All right, so if you're sick, you don't have enough faith. I mean, it's your problem. It's your fault if you're sick, because this is what he taught. That tongues are for today. Okay, we don't believe tongues are for today. The Bible says tongues shall cease. They were for a sign. They were a sign for the Jews, to show to the Jews that God's doing something new, something different. So he taught that tongues are for today. The believer can lose his salvation. That's what he taught, that you could lose your salvation. So then eternal life doesn't mean eternal life anymore. Right? I mean, it's temporary life. It's not eternal because you can lose it. If it's eternal, it means you can't lose it. It's from here on out, for here forever. You've got it. He also taught that God created the races to reproduce after their kind. Did you get that? The races to reproduce after their kind. And the Bible says we're all of one blood, Adam's blood. No difference. We're all of one blood, Adam's blood. All right. The notes in the New Jerusalem Bible, the New American Bible, contain some Roman Catholic heresies. One example, as they say in Matthew 16:18, refers to the Pope. Let's go ahead and just look at that, because since we're learning about the church, it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Oh, that's the Pope. No, Jesus was talking about himself. He says, "You're Peter, you're a pebble, and on this rock I'm going to build my church." That's what he was saying. You're a little pebble, I'm the rock. I'm going to build my church on me. Christ is the foundation of that. He's the chief cornerstone. All right, so just some things to beware about reference Bibles. And now here, we're going to look at probably one of the greatest study tools that exists, I believe, is the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. How many of you have heard of Strong's Concordance? Okay, that book, it's like this thick, and it's as big as this notebook. So it's like that wide, but it's about that thick, like that. It depends on which one you get. And the writing is tiny. Now, what the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is every word that's in the Bible, it's referenced in there. So if you, I mean, any word, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, the third word in says answered. So if you go to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and you want to look, where does it say answered? You'd flip through there through the A's, you'd find answered, and it's going to tell you everywhere in the King James Bible where the word answer is, answered. Every single location. I mean, this thing goes so far, every A, you know, like it says here in verse 34, seven and a few little fishes. So seven and a, so it's the letter A. It's listed in there every time, A, the, it, I mean, every word is listed in there. You say, well, what's the benefit of that? Because have you ever been like, where's that verse? And you remember just a portion of it, you can only remember one word for it? Well, then you go look for that word and you can find that verse. It's also a great topical study. You can study by topics. But the amazing thing about Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is it first came out in 1890. They didn't have computers then. This man did all this by hand, writing this. Do you know how tiring that would be to go through the Bible and locate where every single word is? That's a lot. And make sure you're noting it down and you're keeping reference of all of it every single time it comes up. It's just, it's an amazing, amazing study tool that you can use. James Strong was a professor at two Bible colleges. He defended biblical inspiration against the onslaught of modernism, and he spent 35 years compiling this concordance. And it likely is the most beneficial tool that you can find apart from the Bible. It has two major sections, the concordance itself, and then a Hebrew and Greek dictionary in the back. The words are listed alphabetically, and then it's followed by a list of verses in which the word appears. I have a copy in my office there. Let me tell you what I've done, though. If I could just recommend this program to you, if you're looking at getting some of this stuff we're going to talk about, I would just suggest buying this program. I think I paid $80 for it. I use it nearly every day. Every time I study the Bible, I'm in this program. It's called Sword Searcher, and it comes with all of this stuff I'm talking about. It comes with multiple commentaries and the concordance. And this concordance is a little better since it is on a computer. You can type in like three words and it'll pull up, you know, every verse with those three words in it. I mean, it just does a lot of things. It's very helpful, and it's been a benefit to me. So that's what I would suggest getting, and it has this Strong's Concordance. But it's just a real blessing. It'll really help your Bible study to take off. So you can use the concordance to find verses. Just, you know, you can't remember what it is. You remember a word in it. Okay, then you search for that word and it'll come up for you. So, for example, say you're looking, all you can remember is, delight thyself also in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You remember that, but you don't know the reference. Okay, so what you do is you don't want to look up. Let me just read through this. You can't remember the reference, but you remember some of the words in the verse. If you tried to look up thyself, you would find nearly 200 verses. That might take a little while to find the verse you're looking for, looking through 200 verses. If you try to find heart, you'd find 767 verses. So you look for delight or desires. There are 52 in the verses in the Bible that contain the word delight and only 3 that contain desires. So obviously, let's go with desires. That's going to make it a little faster, right? Okay, so you'd look up desires, and then you're going to be able to find where that verse is at, and you'll have the reference there for you. Does that make sense how you'd use it? Okay, I hope so.